Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in on this Thursday morning as we continue to digest what happened in, of course, the election, the results of the election. What we learned overnight is that two more states fell to Donald Trump in this election, and it just put his electoral vote count up to 312, which is interesting. That's a landslide. In fact, my friend Mark Walters texted me on election day and said he's going to win with 312 electoral votes. And I'm like, dude, where did you come up with that? He goes, I'm just confident of it. And I'm like, okay, well, and he was right.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I was not expecting the landslide win. I can't believe not only did he blow her out of the water with electoral votes, but also killed it with the popular vote. What, some 5 million votes more than her? I mean, that is that is substantial.
And they're still counting is the thing. And there are questions out there about voter turnout, right? So as of 2 p.m. on Thursday, so the 245, let's see, 158,549,000 people had voted. And in 2020, 159,738,000 voted. So according to that number, fewer people turned out, voted this time, even though it tells us we had record turnout in a lot of areas.
You know what's frustrating, though, is I'm looking at RFK Jr. because I know some states refused to take him off the ballot despite him begging them to do it. Yeah. Then he went on Twitter and was like, guys, please do not vote for me. Please vote for Donald Trump. And it looks like he still had about 616,000 votes.
Yeah, their little nasty little plan on the part of the swing state Democrats did not work. In that case, they thought they'd do it just for meanness because states where it didn't matter, they dropped him from the ballot. And once where they thought it might, they played dirty and they didn't. And in the end, it really didn't matter. We're going to get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Of course, she was in the middle of all that coverage, and we'll find out who she's going to get on this weekend. I wonder if somebody from the incoming administration might join her on the show this Sunday. We'll find out here in just a few minutes. Griff Jenkins at the bottom of the hour. We'll do our first responder Thanksgiving tribute today at about 8:45 and encourage you to buy into the ATF raffle. You can text responder to 33100 and get your tickets today. Thousands of dollars in fabulous alcohol, tobacco, and firearms prizes. Please take advantage of that. But right now, I want us to get to the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
And it was a terrible night for everyone who voted against him. And guess what? It was a bad night for everyone who voted for him, too. You just don't realize it yet.
Oh, I'm glad I needed a late night comedian to tell me how sorry I'm going to be that Donald J. Trump is going to fix the problems that the Biden administration created.
While I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
Yeah, don't ever give up. A very interesting comparison today between Kamala Harris's speech that she gave with her concession and Hillary Clinton's speech.
Can we just have a couple of years of peace for the Republicans and President Trump to do what they promised to do, because the American people clearly are asking for it.
Please. So what that means is No fake impeachment trials. No fake Russian collusion stories. No trumped up ridiculous charges by Democrat prosecutors across the country. Give it up. You lost.
Well, I'm so proud of her. I don't think people realize how hard it is to get to where she was.
Poor Claire. Claire McCaskill breaking down on air and crying because she just can't believe that her candidate lost. This was an interesting article that came out this week. Do you know that the Democrats in this race outspent, out-fundraised Republicans by about $500 million?
I believe that.
Now, I mean, I got every single day text messages from the Trump campaign asking for donations. I mean, it was every single day. And then they shared that number with Josh Hawley and even some outstate politicians like Ted Cruz and people like that who would text me begging for a contribution. Because I contributed early on, and therefore they had my information, and they saw me as a likely target. So the Republicans and Donald Trump raised $1 billion. The Democrats raised $1.5 billion. They spent an extra $500 million. And this story is in Breitbart this morning, in case you missed it. The Kamala Harris campaign fell $20 million in debt in the final week. They overspent by $20 million the last 2 weeks out of desperation to try to get her message out.
Well, a lot of that was probably on these celebrity endorsements.
Maybe.
Because people were coming out left and right to support her.
The story in here, in this article, is that Beyonce got paid $10 million to make that appearance for Kamala Harris down in Texas. I can't believe that. If you were really all in on a candidate and you wanted them to win, would you charge them to show up at their campaign? And I don't know if it's true.
I mean, I heard that 50 Cent turned down $3 million to appear at Trump's Madison Square Garden rally. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but that was the story that came out.
Maybe they do charge for those things.
I think they charge for everything.
But I'm telling you one thing. If I could afford to pay somebody $10 million to appear at my campaign, they would perform while they were there. Yeah, you're going to sing a song so my crowd at least gets its money's worth.
At the very least. I guess I just don't view it as an endorsement. If I have to pay you to come there and say I'm going to vote for this person, I don't really view that as an endorsement. It's certainly not an authentic endorsement, in my opinion.
No. Not if you have to pay somebody to be
there.
No,
if they want to support, an endorsement means you're supporting them publicly, you're voting for them, you're encouraging other people to do so. So if I have to drag you kicking and screaming and pay you $10 million, that's not the person I'm going to look for. Wow, they're voting for that person?
And you know, I mean, Trump could just sell a few shares of DJT and pay off any debt that he's got at the end of it.
Well, the stock market loves the fact that he was elected. I mean, I know anytime you have a president actually elected, there might be, well, maybe some stability, but especially Donald Trump.
Here's the story. According to Matthew Boyle here on Twitter, The $20 million thing is real. Rob Flaherty, a staffer, said he's currently shopping around a Kamala fundraising email list to anyone who wants to help them pay back the money. So they took in $1 billion. They had $116 million in the bank as of October 16th. They ran out of money, borrowed another $20 million to get her through the last week of the campaign, and still got their rear ends handed to them. I mean, they may have to hospitalize her to get the gravel out of her butt from that landslide. I mean, it was that bad. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. They spent a lot of money, and which just proves you can't buy off the American people. You can't convince them everything was okay when they know what they're paying at the grocery store and the cost of inflation and these horrible decisions they made on the border. And it all came home to roost.
I think it'll be interesting in 4 years how they try to run a campaign, because they better be doing some serious digging into what the heck happened.
Yeah.
and figure out a better strategy. Now, I kind of hope they don't. I think J.D. Vance, by the way, will run. There's no way that Kamala ever would run in 4 years. Not to already be looking four years down the road. But it'll be interesting.
You've seen the last of Kamala Harris, as Donald Trump would say. All right, coming up, let's get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday, and get her take on that landslide.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
We'll be right back.
Let's be honest. It was a terrible night last night. It was a terrible night for women, for children, for the hundreds of thousands of hardworking immigrants who make this country go, for healthcare, for our climate, for science, for journalism, for justice, for free speech. It was a terrible night for poor people.
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Shannon, I don't know how Jimmy Kimmel ever plans to beat Gutfeld with monologues like that one. What do you think?
Listen, our Gutfeld is the king of late night.
That's right.
There's no argument. It's over.
I was watching the late night host meltdown after the election the other night, and it just keeps getting worse for them. I saw where The Hill called Arizona and Nevada overnight, so it's like 312 right now, right? That's a landslide.
I mean, yeah, that is a number that I had a friend who was very pro-Trump a few weeks ago. I saw him and he said, remember, I'm going to tell you it's 312. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I think that's a little bit optimistic because I knew where he was coming from. He wanted to get to 312. But my goodness, we're digging through the numbers again. I think everybody is astonished by, you know, we've got Fox News voter analysis, sort of our takeaway from people. We track 112,000 people to tell us about how and why they're voting. And man, the predictions in nearly every category were completely off. And Trump, you know, outdid himself with groups from Hispanics to under 30 to black voters to so many different groups. Based on his performance in 2016, he did even better.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing, actually, to watch. So have you heard this debate that's going on over the number of voters, like compared to 2020? I read an article this week in Newsweek this morning that the 159,700,000 cast ballots in 2020 and only 158,500,000 cast ballots this time around, which is fewer people, but we're told there was higher turnout.
It's very strange. And you think about, we were just talking about this earlier, about 2020 was such a weird year.
Yeah.
We were in COVID. You didn't have the vax yet, if that was something you were looking forward to. People were very much still on lockdown, using a lot of mail-in voting. We had sort of a second wave of COVID in the fall of 2020. So it's just so hard to compare that year to anything else. People were on lockdown. They had nothing else to do but fill out their mail-in ballots and send them in. I mean, it was just such a different time. I don't know that we can make direct comparisons between that and this year.
Yeah. Well, so I know that the Republicans have flipped the Senate and now we're eyeing the House, and it's looking like that's going to happen. Certainly there's going to be legal challenges with that, right? Because the Democrats are not going to go down easy if they feel like there's any chance of, you know, oh, well, they did this or they cheated on that to try to win over the House, too.
Yeah, and remember, every state is different about what triggers an automatic recount. Some of these states, if they're within a 0.1%, if they're in a 0.5%, who pays for it? Sometimes the state pays for it. We just have so many different states that will be in play. Remember last time around, we didn't call the House until December because there were so many of these races, and some of them literally were within like hundreds of votes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's just going to take us time. But you got to think, if you're on the losing end of any of these races, you're going to want to mount any challenge that is available to you. And, you know, even the most optimistic prognostications there were for Republicans on Tuesday night, there weren't a lot of people saying that they would take House, Senate, and the White House. So I think even House Republicans, maybe some of them, are a little bit surprised that it seems like things are going so well for them as we wait on these counts.
I'm sure this is going to be part of your conversation this weekend, but you got to start speculating now on who Trump puts in his cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And like RFK has already talked about eliminating entire departments from the FDA. So I'm guessing he's the guy.
Well, so many of, you know, all of these transition and talking about cabinet positions, that kind of thing, they depend on Senate confirmation.
True.
I don't think that that would be an easy road for RFK Jr. And I think the Trump team knows that, too. And they're looking for places to use folks like him, to use Elon, people that wouldn't have to go through a Senate confirmation process, but would, you know, have great influence over policy and decision, and certainly persuading others who are going to be in positions that would require Senate confirmation will have power to do things with federal agencies. So I'd look for a couple of these big names to end up in places that don't require they sit there and get grilled and win over the votes they need in the Senate. But goodness, you know, there's been so much speculation about all these different cabinet positions. You know, Senator Tom Cotton was a name that's been out there a lot. He's withdrawn his name from, consideration for a number of these posts. But in the House, you know, Trump has pulled from the House for leadership positions before. But if it ends up as tight as we think it's going to be, whether it's Democrats or Republicans in charge, certainly if Republicans are in charge, they're not going to want to pull House members out.
No.
Because they need to keep whatever majority they get there.
Yeah, I heard Elise Stefanik's name kicked around. I'm thinking, well, Kathy Hochul is not going to replace her with a Republican, so that'd be dumb. I don't know why they would do that. So coming up this weekend, do you have anybody from the incoming Trump administration?
Well, yeah, we're working on that right now. We always start as soon as the show is over on Sunday, we start talking about who we're going to try to book for the next week. And this week we just, you know, you lose a couple days because you're like, well, who's going to win this whole thing? What's going to happen in the Senate? So, yeah, we certainly hope to have somebody who can speak to all the transition things from the Trump viewpoint, and certainly what his agenda is going to be moving forward and how he's going to get it done.
At least he'll do interviews. The whole campaign will there. Kamala Harris probably will not have.
Yeah, we might have a little trouble booking Dems this weekend, but I think there are a few who are going to want to come on and talk about where they missed.
Yeah, that's true. Shannon Bream, thank you. We'll be listening on Sunday.
See you Sunday.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks,
bye-bye. Yep. Shannon Bream there, host of Fox News Sunday, airs at 4 o'clock right here on 97.1 on Sunday afternoon. Our buddy Griff Jenkins is coming up next. We'll be right back.
You voted against me. You voted against my right to live. You voted against all the women and their rights. I hope you enjoy your cheap gas.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins. we don't need any cheap gas. We'll just take a lime scooter, right?
Exactly. Lime scooters, that's the wave of the future. You know, let me I was telling this to a colleague of mine, Lucas Tomlinson, a great reporter, alongside me, and we were talking about the election. And it just sort of dawned on me, you know, everyone talks about the disconnect between Georgetown cocktail parties and the rest of America. I've lived, Mark, for 31 years in the heart of Georgetown. My wife and I bought a row house, said, we'll get married when we have kids. We're now empty nesters.
Yep.
And I've been to more Georgetown cocktail parties than I can imagine. And the lesson of this election is that the majority of America, the working class, people with great jobs across all racial and gender lines, don't like to be, you know, insulted, crushed, and basically, you know, condescended to, and then accused, if they don't vote one way, of being racist and misogynist. And the Georgetown cocktail party disdain, I witnessed it at about a 4 or 5 under Clinton, about a 7 or 8. We were getting kind of itchy there in the Obama years, but it has gone now to a full final tap level 11. And
wow.
I witnessed it over the last several months. Hey, people, I've been walking my dog in Georgetown for years, and people like that recognize me, don't know my name, know I work at Fox News, say untoward things. And I just smile and say thank you and give them my normal Southern gentleman disposition. But it really is, you know, people act like it's not nothing. It really was you can hear all sorts of important people talk about breaking down what happened and this and that. And there's no doubt that the grocery store and gas station played a big role. But at the end of the day, I think just the majority of our center-right country said, I've had enough. No, stop. You know, I'm not going to take it. You're not going to call me a Nazi if I don't vote for you when my life, 3 feet in front of me, isn't adding up.
Wow. I can't believe that. I mean, don't you go spinning with Doug Emhoff? Didn't you tell me that?
Listen, exactly. I live in the belly of the beast. I've been in Soul Cycle with Doug Emhoff. But what I cannot for the life of me understand, Mark, is that somehow, and I'm nothing special, but somehow, maybe because I'm in the media, I can still see the realities of, you know, the rest of the country and spend time outside of it. And you know, this was just a campaign, the Harris campaign, that just failed to just acknowledge who the voters are in this country. And I think, you know, one of the things that I think, and I don't really know, Bill Hemmer was just in the last hour talking about how it looks like Trump raised his numbers by 10 points in 18 to 29-year-olds to the young voters. But there's an undeniable sign here that, to some degree, young people, of which I have two daughters in that group, that are rejecting woke politics. I don't know how long God's going to let me grace this green earth, but I do hope I live long enough to visit the Smithsonian someday and see the woke politics exhibit in the American History Museum, so I can look at it and chuckle and smile and grin and think, man, what a dumb thing that was.
What a failure.
They went so far left. Hey, Griff, weren't you on like the riot beat, basically, in case there was any unrest in D.C. following the election? Nothing happened there, right?
I was on the riot front, and there was like 50 people that turned out, and the channel was like, so what do you got? It's like really small, and like, but is it, you know, what are they saying? And I literally played a little clip. At one point, they were chanting, no Harris, no Trump, no genocide vote. I'm like, I'm not sure how I report this, because they hate both of the candidates.
Yes. Were they chanting death to America?
I didn't have any death to Americas in my group, but my group was small. I think they basically just, you know, were looking. I mean, some people go to election watch parties. Some people stay home. Some people just go to the bars. And some people just go out and hold up, pro-Hamas posters and dress up in keffiyehs. Listen, I will say this, though. I've been doing protests going all the way back to the early 2000s when it started under the Bush years, the anti-Iraq war. And I know a lot of these same organizers that are still there today. And truth be told, I think they make money off of these huge rallies that happen. But they're still out there, and I've been tracking them and following them. And, you know, there is a definite, they're gearing up. There's a lot of fight the coming fascism messaging going on. on. Sure. I think they're a little shell shocked, you know, at the results. But while you're seeing these humorous meltdowns on TikTok of these people, the anti-Trump fight fascism crowd is going to form again. And I don't know if you remember in 2016 when Brett and Martha were anchoring the inauguration, and Trump was sworn in, and then he and Melania went to lunch, and Brett was like, and now Melania in her beautiful dress, they'll go have a nice lunch. Let's go out to the streets while we've got a break here and see. I think Griff's got some protesters. And they cut to me, and I'm like, oh, my God, and things are blowing up, and cars are on fire. I mean, I think there's a chance we see that. We're going to get our first test. I just 30 minutes ago made our assignment desk aware. The Women's March group, remember, they're one of the big organizing. They just announced like an hour ago a call for a protest on Saturday, this Saturday here in Washington in Columbus Circle at noon. I don't know how many people will turn out, but it might be something to watch, which is a shameless plug for the Griff Jenkins Fox News Live Hour. Saturday at noon. So I hope I don't have live pictures of chaos in Washington, but there's always a chance I do.
Well, they had riots. I don't know if you call it a riot, but they were, you know, causing issues in Chicago last night.
Yeah, this is true.
I saw Chicago. Yeah, Chicago, Philadelphia. And look, you know, hey, it's First Amendment's a great thing. So let's keep it peaceful and get your, you know, First Amendment on, and hopefully nothing bad will happen. My sense is, though, and my experience in these things is, and eventually the bad apples turn out. And I think, you know, it's going to be really fascinating to see. You're going to have protesters in the street, but the Democrats in Washington have a real soul-searching choice here, because one of the other takeaways that former Clinton advisor Mark Penn was sort of writing his lessons of the election, and one of them that he put at the top was that, you know, they learned that he writes, demonizing opponents and using lawfare to try and jail your opponents will backfire. That's true. Listen, there's no chance it happens, but what a thing it would be in an hour and 15 minutes if Joe Biden, the first thing he says from the White House today is that he's going to pardon Donald Trump of all of these federal cases and end this, because we've got to move forward. That would literally spike a touchdown for Democrats. Unfortunately, I don't think that's what's coming, but it would go a long way, and people in the center to the center right of this country would say, you know what, good for him. Okay, that's where I want to go, because people are sick of the bitter partisanship, and the furthest extension of it was the lawfare of the last several years we've watched.
It'll be must watch TV or radio this morning at 10 a.m. We're going to carry that, Carl, aren't we? When the president goes live this morning, we'll be carrying it here as well. Griff, we're out of time, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I'll see you guys. Have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. Talk to you again soon. And wow, if Biden says that, drinks are on me. I can't imagine him doing that. He's more likely to announce the pardon for Hunter.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely going to do that before he leaves office. No doubt.
He will. When we come back, we're going to get to our first responder spotlight. And I'm going to let you hear a comparison of the Hillary Clinton concession speech compared to the Kamala concession speech yesterday. Eerily similar. We'll be right back.
This is your first responder spotlight.
All right, time for us to take the time to thank our first responders. And today we want to thank the folks out there in Lake St. Louis. They got, of course, the donuts delivered this morning from Donut Delight. Thanks to Scott for going out there and dropping those off, because that is just fantastic. We love our friends out there in Lake St. Louis. Thanks for all you do, the men and women of the Lake St. Louis PD, and we appreciate that. Now, on to the first raffle that we're doing right now with Responder Rescue. They are, of course, a fantastic organization. If you don't know anything about them, I would encourage you to go to responderrescue.org. We're doing our raffle, our ATF raffle with them right now, and the fantastic prizes that you can win. In fact, if you go to the website at 971talk.com and you go under the First Responder Spotlight, you can click on that to buy your tickets and find out more about the ATF raffle. They're only $10, and that's the best part of it, because you have such a great opportunity to win, right? If you buy $10 worth, you get 10 tickets. If you buy $100 worth, you get 112 tickets, so you're getting bonuses as you move along. Now, there will be three big prizes, so three different winners will be drawn the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. You got a chance to win all kinds of great bottles of bourbon. We got a great bourbon selection, including Weller Antique 107, some E.H. Taylor. We're going to add some Blanton's into that. Maybe I know I'm getting a bottle of Midwinter's Night Dram, which everybody always wants that if they can get the newest edition of it. Four Roses Single Barrel, Stolach. My friends at Lore Wine and Spirits are donating a bunch of bourbon as well. It'll be over $1,500 worth of bourbon. Let's put it that way. The gun from the range is fantastic. It's a CMMG MK4, a 16-inch barrel, 9mm folding stock. I'll post a picture of myself with it up here on Facebook this morning so you can take a look. That's worth $2,100. And then there's an evening out at Lit Cigar Lounge. Their Luciano Lounge, a private lounge down there. You get a bottle for the room and cigars for everyone. Up to 10 people. That's a value of close to $1,000 because they've thrown in a box of these Opus X cigars that are hard to get. So we got some great prizes. Maybe adding another one. Carl's going out to, I believe, tomorrow, Carl?
Tomorrow night.
To pick up some extra things that are being donated that might include, I'm told, a signed Rob Thomas jersey from the St. Louis Blues.
That might be a thing.
Make sure that gets back to me, Carl, please. We're going to add that to one of the prizes. So anyway, go get your prize. You can text Responder to 33100. That's probably the best way to buy tickets. 33100, just text the word Responder, and you can buy tickets, and we'll pick a winner at the end of the month. Appreciate you doing that. All right, so I promised this earlier. Did you listen to Kamala's speech yesterday? Kim, you said you listened.
I did.
From start to finish, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So the Kamala speech sounded amazingly like the Hillary Clinton speech, and I wanted people to be able to just sort of hear the comparisons. Maybe there's just so much you can say in a concession speech, but listen to this.
The outcome of this election is not what we wanted, not what we fought for, not what we voted for.
This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for.
Earlier today, I spoke with President-elect Trump and congratulated him on his victory. I also told him that we will help him and his team with their transition.
Last night, I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country.
Over the 107 days of this campaign, we have been intentional about building community and building coalitions, bringing people together from every walk of life and background.
We've spent a year and a half bringing together millions of people from every corner of our country to say with one voice that we believe that the American dream is big enough for everyone.
Well, at least it's in keeping with how our campaign was run, which was stealing other people's ideas and calling them their own.
Thank you.
So
I appreciate
she's consistent,
that.
At least.
Have a great day. Brian Kilmeade's up next. We're going to air the president's comments, President Biden, when he does speak this morning around 10 a.m. right here on the radio station. We'll see you tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.